If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Wentz steps up. Here comes the rush. He is going deep. And it is caught. And in for a touchdown, DeSean Jackson!
Give the people what they want.
That was kind of what I expected.
I thought they were going to win the game. I thought they should have won the game. It was right there for them.
It was a close game. I think we all thought the Eagles were going to play the Patriots close. I don't think anyone really expected a blowout. It was a defensive game. The Eagles' offense was there early and then just completely.
Yeah, see, I don't look at it like, oh, it was a close game against the Patriots. You're up 10-0 in your own gym. I don't care.
No, it's not a gym.
What's that?
It's not a gym. It's a field. It's like a stadium, giant stadium.
It's a figure of speech.
Oh, in your own
gym.
Gotcha.
No, seriously, you're up 10-0. I don't care who's on the other sideline. I don't care how many Hall of Famers you have. Up 10 in your own building, you got to win that game. You got to finish. You got to find a way to score some more points. And, you know, this is on everybody, but, you can't lose it to the effect that I think they went up 10-0 with 3.5 minutes into the – or 2.5 minutes into the second quarter. Mm-hmm. And they didn't score again. Their next seven drives, they didn't even move the ball. I mean, that was embarrassing.
It was. No, I absolutely agree.
It's pitiful.
This is the Eagle Eye Podcast presented by Nissan. We're going to get into the game. The Eagles lose 17-10. We're going to try to figure out what went wrong, if there are things that they can fix. And we will have some positives. It wasn't all bad. I mean, there was some good in this game. The defense certainly played well, and we'll get into that. But we have to start with the offense because you're right. I mean, for them to start the way they did and then just completely lose it. Now, they lost Lane Johnson, and I think that's a big deal. He's a really good player. He's one of their best players. But for the offense to go in the tanks because of one guy going down, it's not a good sign.
It really reminded me of the Saints playoff game when they lost Brandon Brooks. Mm-hmm. And they were up 7-0, but they were about, I think, the next play after he got hurt, they went up 14-0. I think it was actually the Jordan Matthews touchdown catch, I think, oddly enough, like four stints ago. And after that, they didn't score again. They couldn't do anything offensively. It really reminded me of that, a different position, but guy plays next to him. It's not good when one injury like that affects you that much. And I think there were other factors. I don't think it was just Lane Johnson.
Yeah, it's easy to look at it and say it was all Lane Johnson, but it wasn't.
Sure didn't help, but yeah. I mean, there's certainly a lot of elements that went into it. You know, I thought Carson, especially in the first half, was just looked really uncomfortable in the pocket. And to put it into perspective, the Patriots have one of the top two pass defenses in the last 20 years. I mean, they are they're elite. They're one of the best ever. What do they have? 18 interceptions. They've allowed four touchdowns.
They're not as good as those numbers, by the way.
They might not be as good as those numbers, but that's a really good defense.
It's a really good pass defense.
And I thought Carson, I thought there were three or four times in the first half that he just held the ball too long. You see Brady, I mean, that's the first sign of pressure. He just chucks it into the dirt. Carson's got to learn to do that. And I understand he wants to make a play. He's a competitor. He's always trying to keep the play going. But you also have to balance that with being smart. And on the fumble, which is a really costly play, cost a field goal, it's just inexcusable. You can't let that happen.
Yeah, that fumble was really bad. That was just on him. He's got to learn, and I say he's got to learn. He's in year four, so it's not like he's a relatively young quarterback, but at this point in his career, you just can't lose the football like that. And he's been better with it this year, I think. I mean, I've noticed him at certain situations learning when to get rid of the ball, but he fumbles too much. I mean, that goes back to rookie year. He fumbles too much, and that was a bad time to fumble that football. Overall, it's kind of more the same with this offense. I mean, at times we see them. That touchdown drive was incredible. 95 yards, 16 plays, 9:33. It took off the clock.
With Lane Johnson on the field.
Yeah, and they did what they wanted to do. They held the ball for 10 minutes and 22 seconds in the first quarter. And that was a pretty good recipe. It was, we're going to move the sticks, we're going to keep Tom Brady off the field, and you thought, okay, if they can do this, I mean, yeah, they're going to win this football game. And then from there, stagnant city.
And I know everybody was clamoring, you know, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, but they weren't having success running the ball. I think they had almost as many yards in the first quarter as the rest of the game. And especially on first down, I mean, they were just, they were in a lot of second and 12s and third and 13s, and it's just tough to run the ball. And he did, I mean, Doug did try to run it. My biggest gripe wasn't the balance of pass to run. It was Boston Scott. You know, Boston Scott was on the practice squad for a reason.
But early in the game, he had, what, he had a couple early five-yard runs?
Yeah, well, yeah. But to me, Miles Sanders is, I think he has shown over the last month or month and a half, really since the Green Bay game, that he's a functional, good NFL running back. And I thought this is a real chance to kind of feed him the ball. Let's see what he can do with 17 carries. You know, he had what do you have, 11 carries, two short catches. He had four touches in the second half, same number at Boston Scott. And he was just a non-factor. And I feel like he's a guy that if you feed him, it's like Doug's afraid to give a running back 17 carries. Yeah. Unless it's Josh Adams.
Or Jordan Howard, who they really missed.
Oh, they really missed him. There's no doubt. But again, it's hard to say how much they missed him when their other running back. I mean, you went into this game with two real weapons, Ertz and Miles Sanders.
Sometimes Goddard.
He was terrible. How many drops did he have? Three?
Yeah, he didn't have a great game.
And one of them was negated by a penalty, but he had two and one and another one. But, you know, Miles Sanders should have been a bigger part of this game plan. If I'm going to go down with, oh, we can't run the ball against them, I want to go down with Miles Sanders, not with Boston Scott.
That's fair. And I think there are ways to kind of – and early in that game, I thought Doug had some innovative play calling. I thought he was doing some impressive things. And then after those scripted plays, it seemed like – it was kind of a boring game plan. It didn't really seem like they had many wrinkles in there. They came out. I mean, they were in 22 personnel. They were going heavy, and they were throwing some things that the Patriots hadn't seen before from them. I like that idea. I thought that was a really good idea. The Patriots obviously adjust to that. But, yeah, I really liked what Doug did early, and then I thought he kind of got away from it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, it's tough to call a game and without productive wide receivers. It's tough to win a game. It's tough to quarterback a game. And I'm not exonerating Carson or Doug, but it's just they're in this hole where, you know, they – I mean, how do you play football without wide receivers?
We're seeing it.
I mean, how do you – I guess ultimately it comes down to how are you going to beat a team that's won six Super Bowls under this coach without wide receivers? And – ultimately, they couldn't do it. I'll tell you what. After the Patriots went up 17-10, I don't think, and I said this to you, and the more I watch it, the more I think it's true, but I don't think Belichick cared about trying to score more points.
I think he knew he had him.
Let's just punt it to Boston Scott, let him either let it roll to the one or catch it, maybe fumble it, or you know, return it minus 3 yards, and we'll
By
make
the
a
way,
punt.
What's Boston Scott doing fielding punts at the 5-yard line?
There was like three of them.
Get out of there.
Yeah. I know Boston Scott's not the biggest issue on this team, but it's just frustrating to go down when Boston Scott has such a big role in the game. But my point is, I just felt like Belichick was almost playing like four corners. Like, let's just go three and out, punt it, and they're not going to score on us.
Yeah. And
it worked.
It was a good game plan, honestly, at that point.
He's like, we got enough.
I mean,
we got 17. They're not going
to
score.
From the Eagles offense to think that they could.
And I think Belichick said, He took a look out there and saw Matt Collins and Nelly and just said.
And this is kind of what I expected in this game. I thought Eagles' defense would play well, but I just didn't know how they were going to score points. It's a big problem, not just in this game, but going forward, because we don't know when Alshon's going to be back. We don't know when Jordan Howard is going to be back. And you're stuck with...
And we don't know when Lane's going to be back.
Yeah, which is... You're right. That's probably an even bigger issue. But so, like, you're stuck with this offense right now, and I don't know if they're good enough. And you see, and this is so, like, we have to look at it at the whole grand scheme of things, that they're still not in a terrible position, because they have, after Seattle, they have a pretty easy schedule. They have a chance to make up some ground. So it's not like the sky is falling, and I don't think they can look at it like that. I know some fans will, but I think if your more introspective fans will take a, they'll take a step back and they'll say, hey, even if they lose these two games, they're still in a decent spot. It's frustrating in the moment because this is a game they could have won. And it also sucks for them because Dallas had a chance to lose against the Lions without Matt Stafford, and they pulled out that win late. Well, not late, but the Lions couldn't score on them late. So right now the Eagles are a game back, but you have to kind of remember that this isn't going to be over for a long time. I mean, the Eagles are going to be in this because of their schedule coming down the stretch.
Yeah, that's true, but I think it comes down to...
I know no one wants to hear it right
now. What's your confidence level that this team with these offensive weapons or lack thereof can, you know, even assuming they lose to Seattle, that they can win out? Can they beat the Giants twice? Can they beat the Redskins? Can they beat the Dolphins? Can they beat Dallas?
I mean, Dallas is the question mark of that group. I think they can win out against the other teams. I just think that the other teams are that bad.
I do too.
I think they're going to be in it. But then I guess even from there, it's like this is a team that we thought had Super Bowl aspirations. They shouldn't have to claw their way into a 10-win season to try to make the playoffs. Like, that wasn't the plan.
No, but right now that's their best.
That's their best bet. So, best, I mean, I guess that's what everyone can latch onto and say, hey, we there's still a chance that we're going to be watching playoff football, but that wasn't the goal going in, and there are bigger questions about this franchise and building the team that we'll get into when the season's over. But for now, this is kind of the situation we're in.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah, I think on the one hand, I agree with you that the sky's not falling. You can't look at it as more than it is. But also, these are issues that aren't going to just go away. And they got to figure out how to move the football. Whether you're doing quality work or enjoying some quality time, you need a quality truck. Get to Nissan's Truck Month. Save big on our award-winning trucks like the 2019 Nissan Titan and Frontier. Shop, choose Nissan.com and your local Nissan store today.
Zach Ertz ended up having a big game.
Which is amazing considering Belichick went into this game. His first priority was to stop Zach Ertz.
Yeah, and pretty much all game it was either they had Gilmore on Zach Ertz or they doubled him. It was one or the other for the entire game. He ends up having 9 catches for 94 yards. And even Dallas Goedert, who didn't have a great game, had 36 yards and a touchdown. So overall, tight ends and running backs had 14 catches for 139 yards and a touchdown. Eagles receivers had 6 catches for 75 yards. 53 of them came on the penultimate drive. So for most of this game, they did nothing. They had 22 yards until late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was good to see J.J. Arcega-Whiteside get off the schneid, make a big play. Yeah, I think he probably ended up with the most yards out of all their wide receivers.
Well, no, Nelly had 40.
Nelly had 40. And that's like a big game for him.
Yeah, Nelly had 4 catches for 40 yards. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about it.
The last play of the game, that was a Hail Mary, but on that second-to-last drive, it's 4th and 10. Carson Wentz, it's a zero blitz. He's got rushers in his face. And we'll talk about Carson Wentz because it wasn't his sharpest game. But on this play, he puts up a pretty damn good ball to the back of the end zone. It hits Nelson in the hands. He couldn't pull it down. And I've gotten to the point now where there was like zero chance that he was going to catch that ball, right? Did you have any confidence that Nelson Agholor was going to make a play with the game on the line and pull in a touchdown pass?
I think part of me still kind of thinks that somewhere in there is the player that we used to know. I was doing the the podcast with the guys, with Tom Curran and the guys up in New England, Boston, and they asked about Agholor because their memory of Nelson Agholor is making these incredible plays in a Super Bowl in the fourth quarter of a game winning drive at a Super Bowl with, you know, 2 billion people watching. I feel like somewhere in there that player is still there, but I could be wrong. I wrote in my town observations that they're not going to cut him, but sometimes I kind of feel like maybe it would be best for everybody if they did.
Week 11.
I know.
It's not like...
I know.
I mean, and it's every week, and they need him. I mean, without Alshon Jeffery without DeSean Jackson, like,
this is a guy, Dave, who's got 15 career catches of 40 yards or more.
Yeah.
And so there was a point where he could make that play.
Yeah. And some of those were kind of dump off runs, but a lot, there were some deep balls.
Yeah.
And
caught an 83 yarder from Sam Bradford.
This is the curious thing. So on this play,
that happened.
He actually told me he thought he tracked the ball well.
Yeah.
And then the contact with the ground forced him to, like, it bounced out.
That didn't happen.
Well, it kind of did, because, like, his knee hits the ground, and then that's when he loses the ball. But to say he tracked it well, like, when I watched it, it looked like he overran it, and then had to try to, like, contort his body in the air and try to pull it in.
I feel like his body's always in the wrong position.
Yeah, and I think he made that catch a lot harder than it really was.
I think he's making every catch harder than it really is.
It's a strange thing. And earlier on that drive, he caught that was a 19-yarder across
the middle.
It was a great catch. Yeah. Like, where's that guy?
Yeah. And the one in the end zone. And there was an earlier one in the end zone that I don't know if he could have caught it or not, but he showed no court awareness. And now he was running.
It's a football field.
Can you just leave me and my metaphors alone, please?
Okay, sorry.
No, he was running right to left toward the corner of the end zone, back corner of the end zone, and Carson threw it up high so only he could get it. Instead of just stopping in the corner of the end zone and going up and trying to make a play, he just kept running, and the ball sailed over his head. You know, stop. Yeah. You know, and go up. Your only chance to make a play, if you keep running, you have 0% chance of making a play.
Yeah, because he actually ended up, like, near the ball, but he was out of bounds at that point.
Yeah, because he waited for the ball to come down instead of trying to go up and get it and then kick his feet in bounds. You know, you watch other games and you see guys make great plays. And the one in the back of the end zone that you were talking about, that would have been a really great play.
It would have been.
But you're allowed to make great plays. Other people do it.
I watched the other NFL games, and it happens.
It happens.
It doesn't happen for these Eagles.
When's the last time a wide receiver made a great play?
Week one? Well, think about it. Like, a really, truly great play. Alshon had one on the sideline that was a really good play. But then he had another one where he kind of forced himself out of bounds. Yeah, I mean, the issues at receiver aren't going away.
Let's just say if somebody wanted to make a video of great catches by Eagles wide receivers, be really short.
Be a short video, yeah. And, you know, at this point, Mac Hollins is what he is. He had one target, no catches. I would have liked to have seen J.J. Arcega-Whiteside get a little more involved. Jordan Matthews had six targets.
Yeah.
Six targets for a guy who was on the street a week ago.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing. Let's talk about Carson Wentz a little bit, because it wasn't his best game. I thought he did some good things. I thought he didn't have a ton of help.
He didn't have any help.
You're right.
Let's face it, he had no help.
But he's got to be better. I mean, he just flat out missed a couple throws on that last drive. He had some really good throws, but when I look at this team, and I think some people are really too far one way or the other when it comes to Carson Wentz. I think some people put way too much blame at his feet, and I think some people are kind of oblivious to the fact that he can play better. I think that there's room for both. I think there's some nuance to this that, yes, he needs to play a little bit better, but he's not getting a lot of help either.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's a really good point. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be he's the greatest quarterback ever. He's a Hall of Famer. They should have kept Foles. I mean, there's an in between, and that's where we are. This wasn't a good game for him, and I get that he's getting no help from Doug, from his wide receivers, really for much of the game from the O line. But yeah, he missed some open guys. I was more disturbed with, you know, he just hasn't been accurate this year. I mean, he's just missing guys.
And that was something he really worked on in 2018. As bad as he was, aside from that, his accuracy numbers really improved. And now he's toward the bottom of the league.
Yeah, and he was 50%. He might be at the bottom of the league by now. But I'm even more kind of disturbed by just the absence of his just pocket presence. It was mainly in the first half. I thought he cleaned it up after that. He got rid of the ball faster. I think all four sacks were in the first half. I don't think he was sacked in the second half, maybe once, but I didn't think it was on him. I thought really three of the four in the first half were on him, were plays he should have just kind of killed it or thrown it out of bounds. You see Brady just chucking it in the tenth row.
It is. I will say this though, it's in a way harder for Wentz to do that because he has in his back pocket the idea that he can escape from it and make plays, which he does at times. And I think it's just hard for him to recognize when that play is going to come and when it's not there and when he needs to get rid of the ball. Because that's a weapon of his that like a Tom Brady's just never going to have. That, you know, and we even saw today there were a couple plays where Carson escapes pressure and makes some kind of positive play out of a negative. And I think that it's just really hard for him right now to figure out when he should do that and when he has to kind of just, you know, throw it away and see another down.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a tricky balance, but he's, you know, like you said, he's not a rookie. He's in fourth year, and he should be well on his way to understanding that balance and mastering it.
Yeah, and you know,
I think this is his 50th career game.
Yeah. So. Oh wow, is it?
Yeah.
They give a little award for that.
Yeah, he gets like a plaque engraved clock, like a one of those little tiny grandfather clocks.
Gotcha. Says,
congratulations on your 50th game.
It's strange because while I think a lot of the criticism against Carson Wentz is unwarranted because he's not getting enough help from the players around him, he is not what I expected him to be right now. I mean, this is a guy who was the MVP of the league when he got hurt in 2017, and he is not playing to that level. He's the type of talent that should be able to elevate mediocre players around him.
He doesn't have mediocre players. He has bad players. I think of Donovan when people said the same thing about Donovan, and then he got T.O., and he had this, you know, what, 34 touchdowns and 8 interceptions and threw for 3,900 yards and went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then he didn't have T.O. anymore, and he became mediocre again. I mean, he's out there with Matt Collins, Jordan Matthews, Nelson Aguilar, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as wide receivers.
Yeah, and but the way I look at it is, like, Nelson has been productive in this league. And this is kind of speaking to them probably more than Carson, but like Nelson's been productive in this league. Jordan Matthews has been productive in this league. Arcega-Whiteside's a second round pick. I tend to think you're right that those guys aren't living up to what they should be able to do. But part of me is honestly wondering, and I've been really defensive at times of Carson Wentz because I generally agree with you. He's not getting enough help. But I'm starting to wonder if maybe he's not doing enough to elevate their play.
It's a fair question. And
it's hard to know how much is in, how much stock you put in the one.
It's really
or the other.
Pivotal question with this team. But I just, you look at the Redskins game, he had Deshaun, he threw 250-yard touchdowns.
Yeah.
You look at this game against, you know, a really elite pass defense, and he doesn't have Deshaun, and he doesn't have Alshon, and, you know, he doesn't have Jordan Howard, and he's got nobody to catch the ball.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that.
But I do agree that, you know, I mean, there are times where he's missing open guys. I thought today he missed more open guys than he probably has in quite a while. I know the conditions weren't great, but that shouldn't matter. Nissan just made your choice for a new car an easier one than ever with their most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Choice is yours. Get great offers across Nissan's full line.
If you've been spending too much time with Curran, you got Eva.
Yeah, it was good to see Tom Curran.
Yeah. I love those Boston accents when those guys are around. It makes me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about the wicked good defense.
They say that up there. You know, my dad's from Maine.
Yeah.
And they say wicked good all the time. My brother lives in Boston. He's there. You know, that touchdown was wicked good. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, the Eagles' defense was wicked good.
It was wicked good. That's their new nickname. You heard of like the Purple People Eaters, yeah, the Monsters of the Midway. This is the wicked good defense.
They played well.
They really did.
I know he doesn't have as many weapons as he's had in the past. I know Gronk's not there, but it's still Tom Brady, and
they're great in the red zone.
Yeah, and you look at it, the Eagles, the one drive they gave up, one touchdown drive, two of those three field goals in the first half, they got the ball inside Eagles territory. One from the fumble from Carson Wentz, and one on a punt return, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you what was a terrible play was in that Nate Gary. I mean, that was a play of the game in a lot of ways. Yeah. Mohamed Sanu, I mean, I think it would have been about a 1-yard gain.
Yeah.
And he just, I mean, he was in position to make the play.
Was that Sanu or was that James White?
It was Sanu.
Okay.
And then he runs 30 yards, and that set up their only touchdown. A few plays later, it was their only touchdown. And that was inexcusable. That's as bad a defensive play as we've seen.
It wasn't. I actually thought he played fairly well.
He had a sack on a blitz.
Yeah.
But that's just...
And that was about to be a huge play.
Yeah.
He makes that play. We're talking about what a great game Nate Gary had.
Probably true, but you just can't, especially in a game like that where yards are so hard to come by. That was the Patriots' biggest play. It was their only play over, what, like 23 yards? And that was a killer. But, you know, defense, they gave up some third and longs, but I'll tell you what, Jalen Mills.
It was actually Rex Burkhead.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I thought it was Sanu.
No.
Okay, my bad.
We were both wrong, so.
It was actually Deion Lewis.
It was a 30-yarder.
Yeah.
It has to be that play because it's the only play on that drive that was that long.
Yeah, it was their only
and Rex Burkhead, you should be able to tackle Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, but overall, I thought, you know, I mean, Darby and Jalen Mills have really kind of calmed down what was a chaotic, disastrous secondary.
On that one play, we saw Darby's speed finally.
Oh, the makeup speed, yeah.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's just pure speed. You can't coach that. And Jalen Mills had that PBU down the sideline. That was a big play. The trick play. It was a good call.
And Jalen thought he should have picked off the one.
He should have. It might have been pick six.
Nah, because he was kind of falling backwards.
Was he falling?
Yeah. He was in the slot a lot. He played a lot in the slot today.
I noticed that. I thought that was I thought some of that was Belichick trying to get Edelman against Mills.
Well, Edelman did line up outside sometimes, and Mills was on it, but he also lined up in the slot.
Yeah, interesting. Trick play.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a great call.
Great call.
Yeah, it really was. And you knew that. First off, let's talk about the Eagles' trick play. It wasn't really a trick play, but maybe they should have just thrown the ball to Jason Kelce. Couldn't have done much worse than the receivers.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to show up their wideouts. And Tom Brady even said, I wrote a story. He even said, you know, we're going to dig deep in the playbook. We got a lot of guys on this team that can throw the ball. They have three college quarterbacks on their team. And he basically said, we're going to do it.
On that one, it looked like, it's hard to say, but it looked like Darby bought it initially and stopped running, and he passed it off to no one. They caught him. They caught him with their pants down.
Yeah, and really a lot of the biggest plays against the Eagles have been not necessarily trick plays, but just kind of...
Misdirection type.
Yeah, misdirection. Just plays that kind of make them put them in uncomfortable, different... maybe unscouted positions. And I know that's a play the Eagles guys said they'd never seen. I think Edelman threw a touchdown in a playoff game once, but he's been in the league 11 years. So, you know, misdirections, end arounds, those are plays that have, I think somebody got them for 44 yards on a, on a jet sweep. I mean, it's just,
but overall
the defense, and really it's three games in a row, and granted the Bills and the Bears aren't what the Patriots are offensively, and they're not what the Seahawks are either, but the last three games they've given up 44 points, which is, I think it's 14, 13, and 17, is pretty encouraging.
I think so. I mean, and I think even the Eagles offensive players I talked to after the game said, hey, yeah, we didn't play well today, but if our defense keeps playing like that, we don't even have to figure it all out. Like, we can just get a little bit better and we can win some of these games.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think it all starts with Fletcher. I mean, he's back to being his, I thought he was really good again against the Patriots. But, yeah, obviously Sunday with Russell Wilson coming to town is going to be a huge, huge challenge. I mean, the guy is playing at just an otherworldly level right now. But they've definitely calmed some things down. And that's what happens when, you know, you start getting players back.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I like their pressure today. I thought Jim Schwartz had a great game plan. As much as people hate Jim Schwartz, I think he kind of knows what he's doing.
When he has players,
yeah,
I mean, they're pretty good. Yeah, I've never gotten... I've never gotten the hate for Jim Schwartz. I get fire Jim Schwartz tweets like 30 times a day. Like, what are you looking at? First of all, since Jim Schwartz got here, The Eagles have allowed the eighth fewest points in the NFL. And that includes 2016, when it was, you know, a whole new scheme, new players, new coaches. He's won a Super Bowl, which no other defensive coordinator that I remember, I don't think, has Juan Castillo won one?
Yeah, he won like 25.
Did Emmett Thompson, Emmett Thomas win one? So I just, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know what people want. He's out there. The last 2 years, he's had 13 different starting cornerbacks. He's out there. You know, you look at it. A few weeks ago, they played four cornerbacks that aren't even. Well, Craig James is on the team, but he's not playing defense now. I just don't get it. I never will. I mean, is he infallible? Is he the best defensive coordinator in history? No, but he's a pretty good coach. I think he knows what he's doing.
You really?
I just don't get it. Yeah. You know, I just don't get it.
You all right?
Every time they give up more than 8 yards, it fired Jim Schwartz.
Take a little sippy sip of your iced tea there. And
okay, Dave.
Calm down. I don't want you to be okay here.
I just don't get it. I don't understand it.
I'm kind of with you on that. I don't think he's always calling the exact right thing, but for the most part, he's pretty good. And like I say about a lot of the Eagles positions and coaches, not their biggest problem.
And I'll tell you what, you know, everybody wants him to blitz, 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 blitz. He finally got real cornerbacks, and what's he doing? He's blitzing more.
Yeah, no, he absolutely.
You go
is.
Out there and blitz when your cornerbacks are, you know, Ryan Lewis and Craig James and Ree Ford. I know he's a safety. I'm just throwing names out there.
Ryan Lewis, that happened.
Yeah, and Sidney Jones and, you know, Rasul, and I mean they were out there with an Orlando Scandrick. I mean they were those guys played.
Seems like a bad dream.
Jeremiah McKinnon and last year's whole group, you know, Josh Hawkins and I don't know.
No? J.J. didn't play.
Yeah, that surprised me.
I thought he was going to play a little bit.
Yeah. You made a really good point earlier. I J.J. got hurt in the Bears game. That was 2 weeks ago today.
Jordan Howard.
What did I say?
J.J.
Yeah, Jordan Howard got – well, J.J. might have gotten hurt. He's injury prone. No, Jordan Howard got hurt 2 weeks ago today. They signed J.J. 2 days ago.
Yeah, and
he never practiced.
So yeah, you're right. So something here doesn't add up, right? Like if Jordan Howard, and the issue here was that he wasn't cleared for contact. Maybe you're hoping he gets cleared for contact, but when this, like, it's all right, now it's 1 week has gone by. It's Monday. He's not cleared for contact. It's Tuesday. He's not cleared. Wednesday and Thursday. So you wait until Friday to sign another running back. And yeah. I know that Darren Sproles changes things because he gets hurt. They realize on Wednesday, so maybe if they have Sproles, they think they're going to be okay. But to me, J.J. is more of a replacement for Jordan Howard than he is for Darren Sproles. Yeah. I think Boston Scott's the Darren Sproles comp, right? So yeah. Jordan Howard ideally would have been here before Friday. I don't know why they waited so long, even just to work this guy out.
It doesn't make sense.
Like, wouldn't you at least want to know he's healthy? Like, hey, we're going to work you out, see if you're healthy, and then we'll sign you if we need you.
Yeah, maybe he was out of the country. Maybe he's in England. I don't know.
They have planes.
They do have planes. I don't get it. I'm just trying to I'm trying to conjure up some kind of, maybe he was in, like, you know, one of those crazy backwards countries that you go to.
I don't know how much it would have helped. I don't know. He knows the offense.
He knows the offense. He knows the
of it.
Coach. He's been here.
Maybe he wasn't ready to play, but then why sign him on Friday if he wasn't ready to play in this game?
I thought he'd have a small role, 4 to 6 touches. You know, I mean, he hasn't been hit in a year, so I understand that, but then why is he here?
Exactly. Like, if he can't play in this game, then why sign him Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was strange to me. Because it wasn't even like there was never a possibility he would have a practice.
Right.
Because they signed him after practice.
Yeah.
So, like, I that was strange to me that they whatever. It's not a huge deal, but a little bit of J.J. would have helped in this game.
Sure would have. Here's a guy who's got, I think, the eighth highest rushing average among active running backs.
Yeah.
4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe going forward he'll have a role, but
they could have really used him. I mean, because I think the Patriots, and you saw early, you know, their rush defense, it has not been great. I thought they were ripe for the taking if you ran the ball.
Yeah, I think so. And if you're the Eagles, you hope that Jordan Howard gets cleared and he can be back for the next game or maybe the next game, you know. And at that point, you will have wasted your prime opportunity to use J.J. because you would think once Jordan Howard comes back, he's going to assume his normal role, and then Jay Ajayi is a backup. So to me, you miss your chance to really play him a lot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. By the time he's ready to play, Jordan Howard's going to be healthy.
Yeah.
If you're a football fan, you need to check out this new game Sunday night 7 on the NBC Sports Predictor app. If you're not a football fan, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, because we're talking about football.
And maybe they just like our company.
That's possible. That's actually likely. There's really no reason not to play. It's totally free. It has $2 million in guaranteed cash prizes this season, with $100,000 up for grabs every week. Just make 7 predictions about what's going to happen on Sunday Night Football for a chance to win some serious money. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app or head to NBCSports.com/predictor. right now to make your Sunday night 7 picks.
You got anything else you want to talk about from this game? The one play where Malcolm Jenkins forced what I thought was a fumble, I thought that was such a cop out, and I'm not here to blame refs.
Yeah.
That's not why they lost, but I thought that was such a cop out by the refs to claim forward progress so that it wasn't a reviewable play.
Yeah, I was right on that though.
You were, you know, you had the right call, but yeah.
You can't challenge that.
Yeah, cuz it's a call by the ref. It's a
judgment call.
Judgment. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Couldn't think of that word. To me, that was a cop out.
Yeah. I don't think it was a fumble. I don't think he would have won the challenge.
I think it was a fumble, but he wouldn't have won the challenge.
Okay. Yeah. One or the other.
Yeah.
Nobody wins challenges anymore. Well, the Eagles did win one on the touchdown.
Yeah. Which was silly to me, too. I don't know how they thought that was an interception.
I guess in real time, it kind of looked like he took the ball as he was.
Maybe.
But, yeah, that was. But, you know, Ertz has a pretty good track record of having touchdowns over.
That was Goddard.
Oh, that was Goddard. Tight ends is what I mean. Yeah, we thought it was Ertz for a while. Sometimes it's hard to tell.
It is a little hard to tell. Those eights and sixes kind of bleed together.
Well, the eights, yeah, the eight part of it's the same. But, no, nothing else. No.
Not the second one.
No, the second one's the six. You know, Seattle comes in, it doesn't get any easier.
I'll be honest, when I looked at these two games, I thought the more winnable game was New England.
I thought they were going to win the game. I really did. I picked the Eagles.
Yeah. I
was really confident they were going to win this game, and I still feel like they should have won this game.
I picked the Patriots in this one, but I was close all week to pick the thing that pushed me to the Patriots was no Jordan Howard, no Alshon Jeffrey. If they had those two guys, I think I would have picked the Eagles, and I think they probably would have won. If they had both of those.
If they had Alshon, I definitely would have picked the Patriots. No.
I think Seattle's a tough game.
Yeah.
Tough game. So you could realistically be looking at a 5-6 record.
But the Cowboys play the Patriots Sunday at in Foxborough.
Which is huge, because it's not just a tough game for the Cowboys, but it's also a common opponent.
True.
And right now the Cowboys gained a common opponent on the Eagles on Sunday because they beat the Lions.
Right.
Whereas the Eagles had the Packers and Jets on them coming into today.
Right.
So I really think there's a chance this comes down to common opponents. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind. It's the third tiebreaker.
The Eagles, I mean, all the rest of their games they have to win anyway. I mean, their team's that the Cowboys have beaten, so they have to win them anyway.
Yeah,
yeah, they have to win them anyway, just for that head to head December 22nd to be for the division.
Sure.
So,
but I still think it's probably there's a good chance it comes down to the third tiebreaker.
Yeah, there is
pretty good chance
they're both going to be 4-1 in division, and 10-6 if all goes according to
5-1 in the division.
What did I say?
4-1.
Yeah. I'm tired.
That'd be an odd number of
games. It would. There was a rain out. I'm spouting gibberish at this point. But I'm concerned. I am concerned. I know how easy the schedule is after Seattle, but I'm concerned about this lack of firepower and offense. I just don't know how you win. I'm still going to stick to my prediction. I said the Eagles are going to win a division over the Cowboys on a tiebreaker in August. I'm going to stick to that. But, boy, I'll tell you what. They just can't get the ball down the field.
Yeah, and I think that's the takeaway from this Patriots game. This is a nice way to wrap it up with a nice little bow here. It's a bad loss because they had a chance to win. Ultimately, it might not matter, but there are problems with this team that they didn't become problems in this game, but they showed themselves again, and I think there are serious concerns about this team based on some of the things we saw against the Patriots heading forward.
Yeah, and even if they do win out, win a division, then it's, all right, legitimately, how far can this team go? What can this team do in the playoffs?
Well, I thought the same thing last year, and they were a play away from going to the NFC Championship.
But the head falls! Head falls!
It was good to see him back playing.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Foles versus Frank Reich. Anything around the league that jumped out at you?
Honestly, I haven't seen much. Even with the early games, I thought I was going to have a chance to watch some football today, and I kind of didn't. I saw the Vikings won, which is bad for the Eagles. The Ravens killed.
Lamar Jackson's the greatest player in history.
Yeah, he's going to win the MVP.
Yeah. 4 touchdowns, no picks, 17 for 24, and 86 rushing yards, including a 39-yarder.
Not bad. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. We will be back with you later in the week as we prepare Tuesday. For the Seahawks game.
Can we let them know we'll be here Tuesday?
Sure. Tuesday. It'll be Tuesday. If you guys didn't hear, it will be
Tuesday.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Eagle Eye Podcast presented by Nissan.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.